Thank you, Dan. Yeah, that happens on occasion that we rotate standby calls for the weekend, and it just happened to fall this weekend, and I figured I better let Dan know that there's a rare possibility I might not be here. But usually doesn't happen because it's the Lord's in control. If he wants me here, I'll be here. You know, I did listen to DA today online. I really appreciated the way that he invited everybody in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not just those in attendance here, but those that are watching the streaming and those that might hear it later on recording. I'm from a generation I'm not used to all that, so I'll have to try to remember to welcome everyone in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I got a sermon that I've been thinking about for quite a while. I didn't take the time to put it together over a period of time. As a matter of fact, I did it in the last couple hours. But I think it's one that the Lord has given me. And as D.A. said, I hope it administers grace into the hearer. You know, I'm going to start with 2 Timothy in the 4th chapter, just verse 2. It's a verse that I think about semi-regularly, where Paul's instructing Timothy and he says, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine." Now, when you think of in season and out of season, I don't know if you've ever thought of the wording that's used there, but right now what I'm doing I would call in season. It's planned for me to be here. I was asked to speak. If I was asked to speak somewhere else, that would be in season. When I think of out of season, it's wherever the Lord puts me. I'm not particularly there to preach the word, but it happens from time to time. And I don't know about any of you, but you've probably been there, especially the ministry, because the Lord will put you where he wants you to be when he wants you to be there for his purposes. So we need to be ready in season and out of season, not just the ministry, but all of us. And I just give a few testimonies of out of season in my case. I don't always try to have a disclaimer when I start talking about myself, because those are the testimonies that I know, and it's not to build myself up, but it's a testimony of how God works with me. And I suppose he works the same way with all of you. You know, I do phone work for a living, and at times I used to take coffee breaks with my coworkers that were around me. Well, there's a McDonald's there in Oak Grove, and everybody decided to go up there for coffee break one morning, and I'm sitting there, and I'm just going to have my coffee and get out of there and go to work. The Lord had something different in mind. For whatever reason, the topic of baptism came up. And I know there was a Methodist, a Baptist, me, and I don't know what other denominations might have been involved there, but I didn't ask. But it got brought up, and I'm sitting there listening to one of my coworkers explain why sprinkling is good, that it's all right. And I'm going, "I'm not going to say a word, Lord. I just want to drink my coffee and get out of here." Well, if you've ever had the Lord impress something on you, you know what it feels like. So there, I don't know about you, but there's this conversation that goes on in my head with the Lord, like, "I'm not doing it." He says, "Yeah." I said, "I'm not doing it." He says, "Yeah." Okay. So I start out with what the scriptures say. I said, "You know," I said, "I can't go along with what you're saying there." I said, "There isn't any way that I can't get somebody, anybody, crippled, halt, otherwise, down into the water to be fully immersed." "Well," I said, "no, I mean, if it takes a lift." to lower them down in there, or several people to do it. I said, it says in the scriptures that we're supposed to follow Jesus Christ. I said, when I read that, he says, follow me. So when I'm following him, he went down into the water and came up out of the water. He was immersed. Conversation shut off. You know, when you speak the truth of the scriptures, people know it, whether they want to agree with it or not. So we went on. I didn't go there thinking that I was going to talk about baptism or why I felt like immersion was the way to get baptized. But evidently the Lord wanted me there, because I don't go to coffee break a lot. I just usually go to work. And sometimes it just amazes me the way the Lord puts things in motion for his purposes to come across. One morning, when you get old, you can use this term. Years ago, we were having a meeting that day, and they were splitting our shifts up, so half of us could go in the morning, half of us could go in the afternoon. I was scheduled for the afternoon. That morning, I got a phone call from one of my coworkers and said, well, so-and-so's called in sick and blah, 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 blah. You're going to go in the morning. Okay. So I hurried up and got into work. And I went to work. And the guy that was riding with me is a guy that I spent a lot of time with doing things I shouldn't have been doing, okay? A long time ago in another life. Well, on the way up, we talked about this and that and whatnot. It's no big deal. He's got a younger brother that's dead now, but he's crazy. He had no guidance. He had no rudder to guide him in the direction that he ought to go. And just things that you hear about that you would just soon not hear about. Anyway, we went through the meeting. On the way home, we're riding home, and so he starts the same conversation up. And I'm thinking, okay, I know this guy real well, and you know, we'll just have a little conversation here. And before I know it, the Lord's telling me, you need to talk to him about prayer. It's like, I'm not, no. We've been through so much together, I don't know if he's going to even understand what I'm talking about. And the Lord says, this is the whole time John's talking, John, his name's John. He's talking in my ear. Well, I got this conversation going on in my head. I never win. But the Lord impressed upon me that I need to talk to him about prayer. And I said, I'm not going to do it. Next thing I know is John says, you know, I thought about praying today. And I went, okay. So I talked to him about prayer and he understood. And it's one of those things where the Lord put that whole thing in motion so we would be together in a atmosphere where nobody else was around and we could openly discuss problems and issues, and I could talk to him about prayer. And he felt open enough with me that we had a good exchange that went back and forth. I haven't convinced him to start coming to church yet, but it's just, it's those things that amaze me that the Lord does when he wants you to be where he wants you to be for his purposes. I got one more that I'd like to talk about, then I'll get into the scriptures. As I represent a company that I work for when I'm on the job, so I don't shy away from talking to people about the gospel and such, but I don't openly start up conversations with it. I don't know if that's good or bad, you can decide. But I'm representing them, and I never know where the other person's at. But there are times when the Lord opens up things to talk about, and I think you've probably heard me talk about this. When I was in a lady's house once, I was supposed to be there later in the day, and I went there ahead of my appointment. She didn't know why I was there. So she called her husband. He wanted to talk to me, and he was adamantly upset because I was there early. So I talked him into letting me go ahead and do what he wanted me to do. And he said that was fine. I was installing internet. His wife didn't know about it, which was a red flag for me. But anyway, so like I am, things started coming out of my mouth that I probably shouldn't have been talking about, because I asked her if her husband really did interact with her that much and let her know what was going on between them. And she said, not really. And the next thing I know is she's telling me that she's seriously thinking about divorcing him after the children get grown. This was back when the Promise Keepers movement was in. And so I said, well, has he ever thought about Promise Keepers? She said, he goes. And I said, he doesn't listen. Because they talk about family relationships between a husband and wife all the time. And how that should be scriptural. And they talk about it. And she was, you could tell that she was upset, greatly upset. So I asked her if I could pray for her and her husband. She said, yeah. I was uncomfortable. But it's like that's what came to mind to do. So I got down on my knees and I started praying for her and her family and her kids and her husband and this and that. By the time I was done, she was crying really bad. And I was really, what do I do now, Lord? And he said, just wait. So I did. And I said, you know, went about my business. I never did. I never knew out of all three of those what transpired afterwards. Wasn't my job to know what happened. My job was to do what the Lord wanted me to do in that conversation at that time. Acts 17. So when you find yourself in those situations, do you ever ask yourself, how do I talk to people about the Lord? I ask him sometimes because I'm not one of these that can just walk up and approach somebody and say, have you heard the word of the Lord today? You know, you've had him knock on your door. I'm not one to do that. I'm not really one to go out and look for people to talk to about the Lord. But they show up in my life. And as you heard me say, I'm not one to just open up and do it. The Lord's got to thump me on the head. But I'll do it. And after I get going, I appreciate that I did it. I'm getting better at listening to what the Lord wants me to do so I don't have to get thumped on the head or have a car wreck. But anyway, Acts. This is the 17th chapter of Acts. This is Paul, and he's in Athens, and he has been talking with people in the marketplace and those that would want to meet with him, and there were I'll just start Acts 17:22. There were Stoics of the time, you might say, but there were men of that's what they did was they sat around and listened to different ideas. They were the think tank of the day, you might say, in Athens. So Paul ends up at what's called Mars Hill with these people, with these guys that, they're intellectuals. That's the word I'm looking for. Well, Paul was an intellectual himself. And he knew how to talk to these people. So in 17:22, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "You men of Athens, I perceive in all things you are too superstitious." That's also the two O's, that you're also superstitious. "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions," there were statues and things made to all kinds of different gods that he passed by. And Paul goes on to say, "I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelling not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Forasmuch then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's devices. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Others said, we'll hear thee again of this matter. But where'd Paul start at? He started because he was alert enough to notice that they had an altar with an inscription to the unknown God. So that's where he started at. He started talking to him about the God he knew and used that as a starting place. And then from there, he just went on and started basically at the creation of man and the world. And also go to Acts, the 8th chapter. I'm bringing out examples that I could think of in the scriptures of how these men started off their conversations with people in places that God put them for his purpose. This one gets used fairly regularly, especially in baptism classes. It's Acts 8, start at verse 26. Philip and others had been, they were sent out to go into the world to preach the gospel and to do what the Lord needed them to do. And in verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. The Lord had a plan in mind. Philip didn't know why, but he was supposed to go. He was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sat with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself? Of himself? Or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now, where'd Philip start at? He started where the guy was reading and had the questions. And then he went on to talk about who it was that he was reading about, which is Jesus Christ. He took the opportunity that the Lord had presented to him, and he found out where this guy was at in his learning of the scriptures, and he went on from there. Of course, it helped out when he asked him some questions, but he went on from there. He knew where to start at. He started where the guy was at and wondering what it was he was reading. You go to page 369 in the Book of Mormon. Be Alma, the 12th chapter. I'm going to start at verse 88. If you remember the story, Ammon came into the country of the Lamanites. They took him prisoner. They took him before the king, and he became a servant of King Lamoni. And he was doing what he's supposed to. He's the guy that smote off the arms of those that were trying to scatter the sheep. To kind of set a little bit of background. Verse 88, "And it came to pass that Ammon, being filled with the Spirit of God, therefore he perceived the thoughts of the king." He came, okay, I need to set this up a little bit better. Ammon was out putting the chariot and the horses away, and then when he came in, he saw that the king's countenance had changed, so he was going to leave, but one of his servants said, "No, don't leave." And so Alma asked King Lamoni what it was. What he should do for him. And he stood there an hour without an answer. So he asked him again. And King Lamoni wasn't going to answer him. But the Lord gave him a blessing that he could read what the king's thoughts were. That's where we're at. "And it came to pass that Ammon, being filled with the Spirit of God, therefore he perceived the thoughts of the king. And he saith unto him, Is it because thou hast heard that I defended thy servant and thy flocks, and slew seven of thy brethren with a sling, and with the sword, and smote off the arms of others, in order to defend thy flocks and thy servants? Behold, is it this that causes thy marvelings? I say unto you, what is it that thy marvelings are so great? Behold, I am a man, and I am thy servant. Therefore, whatsoever thou desirest which is right, that will I do. Now when the king had heard these words, he marveled again. For he beheld that Ammon could discern his thoughts. And notwithstanding this, King Lamoni did open his mouth and said unto him, Who art thou? Art thou that great spirit which knows all things? Ammon said unto him, I am not. And the king saith, How knowest thou the thoughts of my heart? That thou mayest speak boldly and tell me concerning these things, and also tell me by what power ye slew and smote off the arms of my brethren that scattered my flocks. Now if thou wilt tell me concerning these things, whatsoever thou desirest, I will give unto thee. It's all set up for Ammon right at this point. And if it were needed, I would guard thee with my armies. But I know thou art more powerful than all they. Nevertheless, whatsoever thou desirest of me, I will grant unto thee. Now Ammon, being wise, yet harmless, he saith unto Lamoni, Wilt thou hearken unto my words if I tell thee by what power I do these things? And this is the thing that I desire of thee. And the king answered him and said, Yea, I will believe all thy words. And thus he was caught with guile. And Ammon began to speak unto him with boldness, and said unto him, Believest thou that there is a God? And he answered and said unto him, I know not what that meaneth. And then Ammon saith unto him, And then Ammon saith, Believest thou that there is a great spirit? And he saith, Yea. And Ammon saith, This is God. And Ammon saith unto him again, Believest thou that this great spirit, which is God, created all things, which is in heaven and in earth? And he saith, Yea, I believe that he created all things, which are in heaven and in earth, but I do not know the heavens. And Ammon saith unto him, The heavens is a place where God dwells and all his holy angels. And King Lamoni saith, Is it above the earth? And Ammon saith, Yea. And he looketh down upon all the children of men, and he knows all the thoughts and intents of the heart. For by his hand were they all created from the beginning. And King Lamoni saith, I believe all these things which thou hast spoken. Art thou sent from God? And Ammon saith to him, I am a man. A man in the beginning was created after the image of God, and I am called by his great spirit to teach these things unto this people, that they might be brought to a knowledge of that which is just and true. And a portion of that spirit dwelleth in me, which giveth me knowledge and also power according to my faith and desires which are in God. Now when Ammon had said these words, he began to the creation, or at the creation of the world, and also to the creation of Adam, and told him all these things. Ammon had set up the king to trust him. Now, if I was to walk up to somebody on the street who didn't even know me and start talking to him about God, he would probably find a way to walk away. But if it's somebody that I have what you might call a rapport with, somebody that trusts me, that I built trust up with, like Ammon did with King Lamoni, he might listen to me for a while, and he might even be like the king was, and he might ask questions. And we might very well lead to a place to where he would accept the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Don't know. Neither did Ammon know when he started with King Lamoni. But where did he start talking to him at? He started talking to him because King Lamoni asked him if he was the great creator. So that's where he started at. And as he went on through, he also went back and he started at the creation of the world. Started at the creation of man. He found out where King Lamoni's mind was, and so therefore he knew where he needed to start at. Because some people are very aware of the scriptures. Matter of fact, they might know them better than we do. But they don't sink in to lead their lives. I didn't understand this for a while. I was studying with Glenn and Alvin on baptism. I'm trying to think here how I want to go about this without getting anyway. Another individual came that night. And as they were talking with Glenn and Alvin, and I was listening and such, I was thinking, man, this guy knows the scriptures greatly. I mean, he knows them. So after that he had left, I asked him, I said, how can he know the scriptures the way he does, but yet live a life that doesn't exemplify it and stuff? He said, well, he knows the scriptures real well, but he doesn't apply them to his life. So that's what we have to try to get through to some people is how they apply this to their life. And that's what Paul was doing. That's what Ammon was doing. And that's what we need to try to be doing when the opportunity presents itself. Because we never know how it's going to be taken. We never know who it is that's going to be that the Lord really wants to do His work for something. I already know the answer, kind of, but when I first came to church, you all didn't know me from Adam, particularly. But yet you visited with me and found out that I did have an interest and that I might know a little bit about the Scriptures, because I did go to Sunday school when I was little. And you walked me along from where I started, from where you knew I was at. Does that make sense? Unless the Lord told some of you, probably didn't have any idea that He was going to call me to be a minister. I didn't. I didn't even know anything about callings when I started coming to church. But most of you, in your own way, helped me along down that path. And that's what these men were doing, was the same thing that y'all did with me, and not just me, but others. You helped me to understand how to apply the Scriptures to my life. And that's what these men were doing. Because not just one in particular individual did the whole thing. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. I'm leading up to this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. It's just one verse. Nope, three verses. Sorry. 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. I'm just going to read verses 4 through 7. Because this gets across what I was trying to get across with the example that I just gave. Because, as Paul says, "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" What it was I could be saying, "Well, I'm of Alvin." And somebody else could say, "Well, I'm of Marvin, you know, or I follow after Alvin." Well, I follow after Marvin. Well, that's not right. And that's what Paul was trying to get at. We don't follow after a man. And he goes on to say, "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." You may be the person that plants the seed of the gospel in somebody's head. You may be the one to water. And that's all good. But it's God that does the increase. It's God that touches their hearts and gets it into their head that it's good. Like the Book of Mormon talks about that experiment with the seed. Just give it a little bit of faith. You know, let it get planted in there. Nourish it and see what happens. And it grows. You know, probably most of us aren't what you would call an evangelist that goes out and starts churches and you know, those type things that our apostles do a lot of nowadays. But God has a reason for putting each and every one of us where He wants us to be, when He wants us to be there. And we may not have any idea why for a while. When I was sitting in that coffee shop drinking my coffee, I didn't have any idea that I was going to have to talk to and try to straighten their thoughts out about baptism. God did. I didn't have any idea that when I went to a meeting that my schedule had been rearranged, that God had rearranged it for a reason. But God knew what needed to be done, and He figured I was the one that was going to have to do it. It still amazes me why He uses me sometimes the way He uses me. I don't know about you, but, well, not me, but I wonder sometimes if you wonder why God uses you the way that He does. It just amazes me the way that He takes events and puts them into motion to make things go to His plan. It's a miracle to me. I want to finish up with just one more scripture. It's in 1 Peter. And this really is the basis of where I was wanting to come from with this sermon. It's 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Be ready to give a reason for the hope that you have in Jesus Christ. In season or out of season, wherever God plants you that He wants to use you, be ready. Know the scriptures enough that you can do what He wants you to do for Him at the time He wants you to do it. Thank you.